Good morning. It's Saturday, May 25th, the Saturday before Memorial Day. And welcome into Wide Talk 850, the 50,000-watt powerhouse of Alabama, and a special roundtable discussion. Remember, dialogues moved 1 hour forward beginning at 8 to 11 this morning here on Wide Talk 850. But in the interest of your interest, we present a roundtable discussion with Jim Reed, Jeff Langdon, living in the living past and loving it.
Good morning. This is Jim Reed. Before we begin our Living in the Living Past tour in the city center, let me start the tour by taking you right down to my house on Old South Side, Birmingham, a 100-year-old house where I'm sitting typing in my shorts, you wouldn't want to see this, and writing this story and hearing this sound coming down the alley through my open window. This is a little 2-minute story. Bear with me. I think you'll get the point. It's called The Sing-Song Lady. The stilled afternoon breeze of Southside is broken by a new sound. Somewhere off in the distance, you can hear something not quite like the other sounds of the street. Not a car unmuffled, not a dog howling against the city's loneliness, not a baby crying, cribless. It's another sound, and it's coming closer. Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, there's a land that I heard of once in a lullaby. It's becoming clear now. It's flat, rounded-toned voice, and it's very precise and methodical. It's the sing-song woman. She walks by a time or two a day, singing a different song each time. If you knew Susie like I know Susie, oh, 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 what a gal. The songs are all old, but they are the songs you don't easily forget once you've heard them clearly. The phrases are simple and clever. The thoughts are easy to grasp. And the voices that used to record them were not drowned out by highly amplified instruments and heavy beats. Singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling, I'm happy again. First, when you hear the sing-song woman, you feel your day has been intruded upon. The song is loud, and you can't ignore it and go on about your work. The sing-song woman knows most of the words correctly, and you even learn a few more by listening to her. That old black magic has me in its spell. That old black magic that you weave so well. There she is now. Her head is down. She dresses plainly and walks slumped and straight ahead. But her voice sounds out huskily. First you say you will, and then you won't. And then you say you do, and then you don't. You're undecided now, so what are you gonna do? I don't know anything about the sing-song woman. She's like so many others who wander around Southside, going no place in particular. Like many, she doesn't look around, but she doesn't bother anybody either. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above. The sun's in my heart, and I'm ready for love. The heart inside this weathered woman is still ticking. The spirit rises above her body and sings on its own. Let the stormy clouds chase everyone from the place. Come on with the rain, I've a smile on my face. Whatever life has meted out to the Southside denizen, there's something inside her that won't stay down. She's a bag lady, whose bag is a wonderful lyric. I'll walk down the lane with a happy refrain, and singing, just singing in the rain. Is this lady's entire life lived in an old tune written by a long-forgotten composer? The lover to whom she sings the song is not with her on these daily treks. Perhaps he no longer lives. Perhaps he never was. But it is obvious that to the sing-song woman, he is as real as her song in the afternoon breeze.
Cool. Very cool.
City Center cool.
City Center cool.
Well, I'm Jim Reed, and I run something called the Museum of Fond Memories in downtown Birmingham, and I live on Southside Birmingham, and I live in the past, and another guy who lives in the past is right here with me. In fact, he is living in the past so much, he's made it cool to live in the past. Let me introduce Jeff Langdon. Let me get all the introductions out of the way here so that we can all take a nap. Jeff is the chief creative guy of Advantage Marketing Communications. He owns an old building downtown. And he started such campaigns and works such campaigns as the City Center Cool campaign, which we'll tell you more about. Birmingham Live the Dream. You'll see those bumper stickers everywhere. the City Action Patrol, the CAPS program, the guys who used to wear the pith helmets. I'm sure you'll remember those. The New Attitude Day. It's about time, Jeff. Birmingham Pledge, which is something we could spend hours talking about. The Convention Bureau's Yes campaign. Now, that's just a few of the campaign things that have been created or that Jeff is involved in, and he's probably involved in more things, that some of which may even be illegal, so we won't talk about all of them. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Jim, and thank you. Thank you for your story. It was a wonderful story, and
thanks.
I think it sort of emulates what we're talking about. It's when you're in the city center, and there are things that you see and that you experience that you really don't experience anywhere else.
Well, one of the things that bothers me, and you know, there's nothing like a reformed whatever, but I live downtown, I work downtown, and because of that, my whole world since basically 1969 has been downtown or Southside Birmingham. And I'm always amazed that everybody else in the suburbs all over the state, you know, don't know what's downtown. And it's we have things to talk about, and they're not silly things. They're really interesting, important things to do if you decide to come downtown.
And that's very cool. I'm shameless, I'm sorry.
Now let's start with you. I started with my house where I live, which is a block and a half from Ramsey High School. When Vulcan gets back up on his pedestal, I can once again see him from my front yard every morning, which is a great feeling, mainly because we don't get the Homewood side.
Yes.
And we can sit and watch fireworks on the 4th of July in our front yard, and that's a wonderful thing to experience in Birmingham. Start with where you are. Now, you are in a building right on 3rd Avenue North, probably a block over from where all the hoes used to be, right, in the old days.
All the
sorry about that. I'm trying to break you up this morning.
Is that garden equipment, like shovels and
yes,
hoes?
Yes, Massey's has all those. It has a garden equipment and hose and everything.
And that's the whole hose section. I'm on 3rd Avenue North between 20th and 21st Street in a three-story building. I think it was circa 1889.
Really?
Yeah, it's one of the oldest Victorian-style buildings in the city center. And it was abandoned, or what we shameless marketing people say, available for a number of years, and we renovated it. It's sort of a work of love, and it's where we work and play all day. Spend a lot of our time. It's the epic center of from where we do business, and we've gotten to the point where many of our clients are on the city center in walking distance. It's almost part of the prerequisite to become a client. You have to be within walking distance so we can walk to our clients and deal with them. And plus, walking in the city center is just a joy. I am always amazed by the people who, not to, you know, put them down, but who do work out there in the burbs.
Mm-hmm.
You're downtown? Isn't it unsafe down there? Isn't it, you can't park? I'm going, well, of course I can park. I park every day, and I walk all the city center. For instance, as you know, Jim, I walk to your place 4 or 5 blocks up the street.
Can't get rid of you.
Can't get rid of me, I know, because that's kind of where I can go when I'm after a lot of work and a lot of creative things going on. If I just want to unwind, I take a beautiful walk up 20th Street to Jim's Museum of Fond Memories and just get lost in the history that's in Reed's Bookstore.
By the way, you don't have to accept anything we're saying. You can call in and dialogue with us, as they say. The number to call is 942-8585. I'll repeat that since it's early morning and I can barely make a fist, much less write down a number this early. 942-8585. Well, when you talk about walking down to the Museum of Fond Memories, this is something I created years ago because I couldn't find anything like it anywhere else. So I've got 6,000 square feet in a 100-year-old building of everything you can ever think of that was thrown away by your mother or grandmother or great-grandmother. And so it's my little world, and it's where I make my living, so to speak, and it's where people come from all over the country, really, to buy stuff they know they can't find anywhere else. It's old, old stuff. And we can talk about that more later if you like. But it's a good starting off point for one of the things that I think we wanted to discuss today. And that is, what is there to do if you get downtown? Now, I don't want this to be an infomercial, but it is, in a way. Because you and I, we're not being paid to do this, right? On our own. We're shameless, you know, publicists. We like to talk about things we believe in. But and thanks to Dee Sloan, we really appreciate the fact that he invited us here to do this. Birmingham is a place that, downtown Birmingham is a place that has incredible attractions, but you don't know it if you don't know how to get around downtown. And that's where you come in, because you've been very involved in helping people get around better. Not only do you walk the alleys, but you have something to do with the new DART system and the fact that something you've been wanting for years, it's now free.
I walked the alley singing. I'm surprised you didn't write a story about the bag man.
That's next.
That's next. Yes, well, for in my estimation, walking in the city center is a pure joy. You can walk to the Jazz Hall of Fame, to the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame, Alabama Theater. You can go to the Civil Rights Institute. The Birmingham Green is a beautiful place just to walk amongst. The Museum of Art, one of the finest museums in the Southeast, perhaps the country. Of course, you have Five Point South Restaurant District and the Lakeview Restaurant District. You have Kelly Ingram Park. I can McWayne Center, the 16th Street Baptist Church, certainly an icon in history. Pepper Place, on and on. But one for those of you who are not quite perhaps as nuts or as energetic as I tend to be as walking around, the dark trolley is the vintage trolley that you see driving around, the red ones and green ones. Well, not only is it a great ride, not only does it get you from point A to point B and anywhere in between, it's free. And so what a great way at lunchtime or on the weekend or in the evening to just to get on that trolley and get off anywhere. Because, you know, the other thing is, it's safe in the city center. You hear these, oh, downtown. Well, you know, I live in Mountain Brook. I have to say, Jim, sorry, but...
And you do call it living.
Call it living in the...
I'm just joking. We're just trying to get bug somebody enough to call and talk to us.
That's right. All those people in Mountain Brook we bugged call us. My domain is in Mountain Brook. I think my heart really is in the city center. But it's safe. It's as safe in the city center as it is in Mountain Brook. These are facts and figures. This is not a couple old guys, a dream or dimension.
It's just not a factor.
Yeah, it is.
But the fact is, to me, the interesting thing about the downtown area, and I know you like to use the term city center, but a lot of people don't know what I'm talking about when I do that, so I try to use both, is that all you have to do is change the way you look at things a little bit, which is part of the adventure of going downtown. It's like taking a Himalayan adventure or something. Whereas, in the suburb, you might have all the stores that you want to go to or all the places that you want to go to all in a neat strip mall and a neat galleria of some kind. I shouldn't have used that name.
Sure.
A big old shopping center. And they're all together where you can see them. But downtown is not quite like that. Downtown, part of the adventure of downtown is there's a big attraction, a one-of-a-kind attraction like the museum, and then there may be three available buildings. Then there's the next attraction. Then three available. You know, once you get that and you realize that the available buildings are not just shuttered up, boarded up buildings. They have historic pieces, things that have been here since Birmingham began, things that have histories, things that are beautiful to look at in terms of architecture and detail and everything from, little Gothams on top of the buildings sitting there grinning down at you. Great things to look at. So it's not like you're going to find everything you want within a one block area. You may find one thing on one block, at the end of that block, another thing. But by the time you take a couple hours downtown, you've seen things you cannot possibly see in the country part of Alabama or in the suburb part of Alabama.
And, you know, it's perhaps a little more work. I mean, it's not laid out easy like a mall, but, we have too much of that. Sometimes to get something out of life, there's a little work involved. And yes, it's not just all laid out, 1, 2, 3, and, all right, let's go to the next laid out strip mall. Part of the fun is getting from that one attraction, like the museum, and then... Mm-hmm. And then finding the other places, such as you said, an old building that sometimes I walk past and I think, what happened here 100 years ago?
No.
Yeah, what kind of life? What kind of cars were driving right past me? What footsteps am I walking over? What kind of activity was happening back then? And if you get yourself into that mindset, it's a wondrous trip, a wondrous journey.
It is, and a way to start. For instance, if you want to do something that you probably have heard more about in the past couple of years than anything else, you could start even at the McWayne Center. And granted, Jeff and I are mostly interested in old things, but you got to realize the McWayne Center is there to preserve old things. You're looking at geology and you're looking at all kinds of, and dinosaurs and all kinds of stuff that's been around for millions of years.
Well, in fact, any of you who go by there, the McWayne Center is the old Loveman's and Newberry building.
There are ghosts in that building.
Oh boy, there are ghosts. And it's on 19th Street between 2nd and 3rd Avenue North. I guess they just finished constructing that cool dinosaur out there. Coolosaurus, we might call him.
Call him that.
But they have a new IMAX adventure film there. If you haven't been to the McWayne Center, And sometimes you hear it as an attraction to children. Well, then obviously I'm still a child because no. I think it's a great attraction for people of all ages. Not just the McWayne Center IMAX movie, but the museum portion there. It's a great, great place to go.
I tend to think kids are the ones who are probably bored by it. Adults are the ones who love to go. You know, kids see fantasy all day, every day. That's their life. But adults, you know, it's like going to Disney World. Disney World is really for adults. That's for us to let go of our fantasy, you know. It's a fun place to go.
But it's by the way, that McWayne Center IMAX adventure film is called T-Rex, Back to the Cretaceous. I hope
you said
that,
Cretaceous right.
I did.
Wow.
And it takes audiences back 65 million years in time, speaking of history, living and loving, living in history. It starts May 25th, which would be today, wouldn't it?
So far.
Yeah,
it started out about midnight, I think.
It did, and it's going all day like this.
Yeah.
But until November 27th. Those of you who don't know, Jim Reed is the one with the radio voice, and I'm the one who stutters, just in case you want to figure who's who.
I sputter, you stutter. Anyhow, to remind you of what we're doing here, this is an hour of radio programming called Living in the Living Past. We knew Dee would understand that because he's part of the living past. And we're here with Robbie trying to engineer us and keep from breaking up or going to sleep. I'm not sure. I think he wavers between the two. And we're trying to be here because we've got an hour that has kindly been provided for us just so that we can talk about things we love about Birmingham. I run a store called the Museum of Fond Memories. It's been around in one form or another for 22 years in Birmingham. It's one of the major attractions in Birmingham as far as I'm concerned. But it takes putting out the effort, as Jeff says, to come and see it. We're on 20th Street at First Avenue South. And it's like going through the looking glass because the front of the building looks like it's a tiny little hot dog place. But if you walk up the stairs, suddenly you're in this gigantic through the looking glass kind of thing where you see juxtaposed against each other 500-year-old objects and 10-year-old objects and 500-year-old books and 200-year-old Birmingham papers and, well, 110-year-old Birmingham papers and letters and diaries and journals and posters and signs and cobwebs. Real cobwebs, not Hollywood cobwebs.
And you have to kind of know where it is. It's right next to Scott's Coney's.
Yeah.
But also, it's almost a daunting set of stairway going up. But it's aerobic. It's healthy for you. And Jim always knows I'm coming because
he hears you storm
up the stairs.
Yeah, which is probably why you got leg problems now.
I have to be.
But we donated that to you, so we like to have an effect on people. And sometimes people get this claustrophobic idea that that Birmingham is something that's not. Not cool to do, like you're going to sort of be swallowed up, like being eaten by a boa constrictor slowly or something if you come into the downtown area. So in honor of that thought, let's hear about boa constrictors, and we'll be right back.
Oh, I'm being eaten by a boa constrictor, a boa constrictor, a boa constrictor. I'm being eaten by a boa constrictor, and I don't like it one bit. Well, what do you know? It's nibbling my toe. Oh, gee. It's up to my knee. Oh, my. It's up to my thigh. Oh, fiddle. It's up to my middle. Oh, heck. It's up to my neck. Oh, dread. It's up to my...
Morning.
Morning, Jim.
I'm Jim Reed. This is called Living in the Living Past, which is something that we came up with last night. We didn't know what the name of this program was, but you can call in and give us a better name, and or even call us names if you want to. We'd be glad to have conversation with you because Birmingham has so many little hidden assets that we're going to miss some when we talk about these little things that are downtown and these big things that are worth seeing, that are worth taking your family to, that are worth going and exploring. We're talking about an adventure. We're not talking about just a one-time event. Like City Stages is great, but you come to Birmingham, you do City Stages, you go home. Birmingham has an event every day.
Speaking of which, and I'm Jeff Langdon, Chief Creative Guy with Advantage Marketing Communications. That's my plug, by the way, for those of you who did not obviously see that it was a shameless plug. Ooh. Yes, living in the Twilight Zone.
In case you're wondering what's going on here, you are in the Twilight Zone. This is a radio show that has never existed before and never will exist again, so enjoy it now, folks. Jeff, back to you.
Make plans to join Operation New Birmingham and the Literacy Council of Central Alabama for the third annual Historic Footnotes Walking Tour. This benefits the Literary Council of Central Alabama. I think after listening to this program, you realize that literacy is important and we should work on it. The event is to be held on Saturday, June 1st, from 1 until 4 p.m. Once again, they'll highlight downtown's hottest lofts and coolest offices in a self-guided, self-paced tour. Last year, more than 500 people came downtown to view these beautiful spaces, these beautiful, cool spaces. The event netted over $7,700 for literary efforts in Central Alabama. And it's just a great way to give your downtown business exposure to an interested audience. But be on the lookout for this. It's a fun and cool thing to do.
942-8585 in case you want to chat with us. Now, if you want to learn more about us without having to actually deal directly with us, which is probably the best way to do it, you can look on our respective websites. You can see the Museum of Fond Memory at a website called jimreedbooks.com, JimReedBooks.com. And Jeff can be seen at...
Well, our new one is under construction called creativeguys.com. Mm-hmm. But the ones you can look up if you want to learn about the city center and the city in general that we work with and I work with is yourcitycenter.com, yourcitycenter.com. And then for the Live the Dream campaign, it's birminghamltd.com. And to find out about the trolley, it's bjcta.org. Are you impressed I had all those in my mind?
For people taking shorthand in the audience, I'm sure you've got that down. But there are ways to find this stuff out. Just call us down at our shops. Call Jeff at his agency or call me at the Museum of Fond Memories and read books, and we'll fill you in on stuff that's going on. One of the things that has always amazed me about Birmingham, too, is that people like me who don't walk very much, when we do walk, we see things that we would never, ever see otherwise. And I know we get used to driving everywhere. So like you drive 3 blocks to go to the convenience store. When you get out and walk, you see things, you see artwork that you wouldn't see otherwise. For instance, if you walk by the police station downtown, you're not just going to see policemen in the parking lot, you're going to see a great big mural, an incredible, beautiful mural against racism. It's a wonderful statement, just with very few words, and the Birmingham Pledge, which is just something that popped out of nowhere, just came up because of a lot of wonderful people. And if I start naming, I'm going to leave somebody out. But Teresa Thorne and a lot of other folks contributed to starting that thing and getting it going. And it's worth showing your kids. They should see this once in their lives. So that's another thing to do when you walk around downtown.
I'm going to name a few things, Jim, and people might be surprised. Alabama Jazz Hall of Fame, Alabama Sports Hall of Fame, the Arlington Antebellum Home, Barber Vintage Motors Sports Museum, Birmingham Civil Rights Institute, Birmingham Museum of Art, McWayne Center, Samuel Ullman Museum, Sloss Furnishes National Historic Landmark, Southern Museum of Flight. These are all museums in or around the city center. And if you're wondering how to find out about these places or where they're listed, well, you're in luck, because you know what I'm doing? I'm reading right from this magazine called Venues.
Where can I get a copy of that magazine?
Well, Jim, it's funny that you asked. this magazine comes out twice a year. It's an extensive book, 100 pages or so. Well, actually, about 80 pages. I should know. I publish it. About 80 pages of information about the visual arts, performing arts, museums, festivals. It has stories. And interestingly enough, one of our stories is about what Jim early referenced as a garden tool, about one of our ladies of the night, who was a very famous historical figure, Louise Wooster. has a story about that in our last issue, which highlights the European Masters on the cover. But what you get it is, it's a shrink wrap with the Birmingham magazine. It's at the Birmingham Public Libraries. It's at the different art venues. Many, many places you can get it. And like the Dark Trolley, it's free.
So astounding to me how much is going on in Birmingham at any one time. I can't keep up with it. And I'm an old fogey. I mean, I try to go places that old fogies probably don't go ordinarily. But if you just take one thing that you like, just one little particular thing, say jazz, for instance, and you think that the only place you can hear jazz is once a year when somebody famous comes to town or go home and listen to your CD, that's not true. There are jazz concerts going. In fact, there's one tomorrow at the Jazz Museum, the old Carver Theater. As I remember, I don't have it in front of me, but there's a jam session tomorrow afternoon at 4, isn't there?
Yes, at the Alabama Jazz Hall of Fame at Carver Theater.
And it's free.
It's free. It's on 4th Avenue North on 17th Street. That's where it's located.
By the way, these are real jazz musicians. Mm-hmm. These are guys who've been around and gals a long time, and they've traveled, and they are pros. You're not just going to hear a bunch of, amateurs. And they also will play the following Sunday at Jazz Vespers, which takes place once a month, a free jazz concert, the first Sunday of every month on Southside. I mean, just jazz. If you just wanted to hear jazz, like you used to hear when you were a kid and thought it didn't exist anymore, this is, all you got to do is go downtown. It's there.
And by the way, Jim, in case any of you actually do call, those of our friends who have...
Let me go in the next room and call us so that we'll have a call.
Just call me. I don't care what you call me. Just call me. We'll
give you car advice. You don't have to listen to Car Talk this morning. You can skip that. Just call us.
We can give equally inane information as they can. We have with us, though, in case that we can answer it, we have a little friend of ours, Obi-Wan, you know me. And if the question is unanswerable by Jim or I, for instance, let's see what he has to say.
That question is so lame.
Well, he certainly has his own opinion.
You have a new career set up, you know. We thought they were all dead, but we have at least two of the Stooges here, and we probably can recruit a third one if Dee will come back into the room.
And it also proves that Dee will do anything to not have dead time.
Yes, he donated this time to us. Which is, and it's fun. It's fun to do. You've got people in Birmingham who will do nice things for you if you just open yourselves up to it.
And we're earning every dime we're getting paid.
I think we need to take a break because Robbie is beginning to turn pale and thinking that we're such amateurs that we're not going to remember to let him give us a station break. But we're going to turn it back over to Robbie for a few minutes. This is Jim Reed. That's Jeff Langdon. We'll be right back.
The most important voice in talk radio. Wide Talk 850. WYDE Birmingham.
The Talk Radio Revolution.
Here, otherwise known as Mr. Dialogue, Brian McCullough, coming to you through the magic of 21st century Wide Talk technology. How about some dialogue this coming Saturday morning? And don't forget about our new time, 8 to 11 on Saturday mornings. We'll kick it off the last Saturday of May 02 with Home Improvement and a return visit from Butch and Billingsley Homes. The man who builds your sunroom, does your plumbing, electrical, and turns your abode hacienda into a castle. He'll take your calls and give you the info you desire. Next, your personal injury expert drops in, attorney R.G. Lamb, in rare form for questions on your rights and the law. And after that, you could use a little honey and spice. That's why the original Spice Girl, Joan Kane, will be here with her herbs and vitamins in hand. So join us by radio, participate by phone. It'll be Saturday morning at its best. Fresh morning coffee, your calls, and some dialogue. Now 8 to 11 right here on Wide Talk 850. That's W-Y-D-E, and that stands for We're Your Dialogue Entourage.
It's the halfway point here in the Magic City this hour. Good to have you with us on this Saturday morning, May 25th. Here's your weather forecast for today and Memorial Day. Weatherman says for today, partly cloudy, high in the mid-80s, southerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tonight, low in the lower 60s with light winds. And on Sunday, it'll be partly cloudy with a slight chance of showers or thunderstorms, high in the mid-80s. Chance of rain for Sunday, 20%. Sunday night, perhaps an isolated evening thunderstorm, otherwise partly cloudy with a low in the lower 60s and a 10% chance of rain for Sunday night. On Memorial Day, the weatherman forecast partly sunny, just a very slight chance of showers or thunderstorms, 20%. with a high in the mid-80s.
The last grocery store. 50 years after the general merchandise store of R.L. McGee in Peterson, Alabama, had become the trade and social center of that tiny coal mining town, I stood atop a wobbly ladder held sturdy by my Uncle Adrian and brother Tim, and my balding head reflecting the post-storm sunshine of an Alabama winter day, began the task of removing the R.L. McGee general merchandise sign from the front of the now decaying and emptying building. That was just yesterday, and the sign is now resting in our living room, waiting to be installed here in my loft, where I can gaze at it daily and remember the wonderful, free ice cream and candy times I spent in my grandfather's store, a place of wonder for small boys who could run among the shoe soles and needles, axe handles and men's flannel shirts, pork and beans and feed bags, and uncles and cousins and aunts and parents and grandparents who loved to visit there. Outside, the old dinosaur-emblazoned Sinclair signs had long been sucked up by a plastic and too shiny Arco sign. But until recently, gas had still been pumped and kerosene doled out and carbide sold by my late Uncle Brandon, whose cigarette always dangled haphazardly over the pump handle, dropping ashes into the gasoline vapors and always somehow managing to just barely avoid explosive chaos. Inside the store, which was welded to the home of my grandfather and grandmother and Uncle Brandon, only echoes and scurrying pests and barely hidden ghosts wander the concrete and wood floors. And there's little left of the store, the one building that once contained the town post office, the town Greyhound bus stop, the town movie theater, the town Justice of the Peace, Granddaddy, the town Eastern Star, Grandma Effie, the town humorist, Uncle Brandon, the town pre-charge card control center. Granddaddy ran charge accounts on everybody, middle class and poor, black and white alike. The town egg farm, the town marriage center, the town have Granddaddy make your last will and testament center, the town pre-Disney World circus for kids, where you could always bring in a deposit bottle and get an Orange Crush or a Buffalo Rock or a Grapico or an RC Cola on a hot and barefoot day. The little rickety store was a mecca for us kids, and now what we have to show for it is in our hearts and our heads. For with the removal of the signs, the stripping of the medals and buttons, we will someday soon have only a few artifacts and a bunch of wonderful memories to share of a store and a day and an era and a generation now gone and 100 years from now completely forgotten.
Well, I thought you might enjoy hearing a little nostalgia from when I was a kid about my grandfather and his store. And even though I'm from Tuscaloosa, I'm Jim Reed, even though I was from Tuscaloosa originally, and Peterson, Alabama, where my grandfather's store was, is in Tuscaloosa County. When I moved to Birmingham 30-something years ago, I started automatically, without even knowing, seeking out places that reminded me of those good old times. And I think that's one of the reasons why I still live and work downtown. And, Jeff, you've found these places, too, since you've come to town.
Great places. Of course, you know, the word store is the part of the word historical. I just thought of that.
Hey, it sounds like an ad guy would have dreamed something
amazing
like that.
Amazing, like little caffeine will do.
Wait. I want to pause for just a moment, take a call, and then we'll come back to this very topic.
Great.
Hello. You're on Car Talk. I'm sorry.
Car Talk.
Okay. Good morning.
I was looking for infomercial on Focus Factor and heard you on the radio, so I thought I'd give you a call.
Well, we're lack of Focus Factor.
We're diffused and very fuzzy.
I want to hear you talk about good places to eat downtown. I read a story you wrote once about the Social Grill.
Well, you know, there are good places, and you and I should know because we both are becoming portly here. I think I recognize the voice of this person as one of the street people we've known for years.
Yes. I'm singing Singing in the Rain while I wait on hold.
What's your favorite place?
Pete's Hot Dogs.
Pete's? You still go to Pete's?
Sure, despite my high cholesterol.
Yeah, well, you got to maintain it, you know.
I like it because it's about 10 feet long, and the guy's made a living there for years and years.
The hot dog is 10 feet long?
No, the store is.
Oh, right. I think everybody in the world has been there at one time. What's a good sitting down place that you like?
Downtown?
Yeah.
John's.
You still like John's?
Looks like an old New York restaurant.
It does, actually. I'm the same way. I don't think about going there very often, but I do go there several times a year. And it just, it's predictable, and it's always good. Everything's fresh.
And there's an amazing amount of restaurants downtown. People think, oh, there's no place downtown. There's Cameo Cafe. There's the restaurant in the Birmingham Museum, which is fabulous.
We want to know more about guy restaurants, down home, portly gut restaurants, too. I mean, I know the museum restaurant is great. Liz loves to go there, and it's la-di-da. But I always like just to get down where I can get stuff on my clothes and drop mustard down my beard, you know, and that kind of thing.
There's about 15 hot dog stands downtown. Lyric Hot Dog on 3rd Avenue North is another one that comes to mind. But
caller, have you been to the Lyric?
No, I haven't.
Hmm.
But I know you have another hot dog place you like a lot.
Actually, I have two, but I tell you what. I have learned so much about one that's been around for 25... Let me do this as a quiz to people. It's been downtown for 25 years, the same family running it, and still there at work every day running the best, most well-organized and clean and really good-tasting hot dog stand. Plus, they have lots of other stuff.
And we have to guess what that name is? Should we ask our little...
Yeah, family? Ask your little thing there what that name is.
Right. Stop it! You're killing me!
Well,
that's not...
I don't think he knows.
Yeah,
caller, Jeff is obviously out of control. it's the restaurant I'm talking about is Scott's Coney's. If you haven't been there, I'm just amazed. They're right across from Adamson Ford on 1st Avenue South and 20th Street. Scott Green and his daughters and family and extended family run that store, and it's a great place.
And you get sandwiches and salads there, not just hot dogs.
And before I knew about Scott's, I'll mention one other place. And besides, by the way, we're not being paid anything by these people. They don't even know they're being mentioned. Maybe they wouldn't want us to mention it. It might ruin their business.
I'm sure they wouldn't.
The other place that I knew about and ate at frequently before I moved down to where Scott's is was Tony's Terrific Hot Dogs. Again, they've been in business forever. They're great guys. They can fix the fastest meal you can imagine. Within 3 seconds, you've got the meal in your hand from the time you order it. And they've been right there on 2nd Avenue North and 21st Street, Richard Arrington Boulevard, since long before it was named Richard Arrington Boulevard, you know. So those are two of my favorite places to get good hot dogs.
Tell that story about the social grill, though.
Oh, okay. I'll try to paraphrase it. Thanks for calling.
Take care.
I really appreciate it.
Enjoy your morning.
Thanks. We're trying to.
Okay.
Tell somebody else to call. I'm not sure which story you're talking about. For what it's worth, as long as we're here, we may as well explain why I'm reading these little stories. I'm a writer. We hadn't mentioned that. I do write stories. I've written hundreds of stories about my life. And the great thing about writing in Alabama is you don't have to make anything up. Anything I write is true and sometimes actual. And it's always about something that's really happened or something that's about to happen or something that did happen. And, in Alabama, you don't have to create anything from scratch. You just report what you see and hear and feel, and great stories come out. And I tour around the country teaching courses on how to do this, how to get people revved up to write their own stories now. But Alabama is just full of material, and so is Birmingham. And the Social Grill is just one of those many places that you got to go now and then, just because it's just been there forever, and you've got to go and re-enjoy it now and then. And the people you see are what makes it interesting. You see everything from street people who have dug up enough money to come in and have a hot meal. I can remember seeing a man with no teeth who was just getting a big plate of three big servings of mashed potatoes and gravy. That was it. That was his entire meal. You see touching things like that, things that make you really think about your own life, all the way to the bankers and the high rollers and the advertising guys coming in and enjoying themselves there too. The thing I like about the places like Scott's, Coney's, and Tony's, and the Social Grill and Fife's and other places like that is talk about diversity. You can talk about wanting people to be diverse and get along together and different races and different lifestyles and all that, but you know, it really happens in these places. You really go in and you're sitting next to people you would not ordinarily be sitting next to, and you learn from them. You listen you become engaged in talking with them, and eventually you make friends. That's the thing I like, just getting to know all those different kinds of people.
And you get the right stories about them.
Yes, and then it's great story material. So, you know, you're going to wind up in one of my stories just by the fact that you sat down next to me at lunch.
Yeah, speaking of historical, another, you know, these are just things that come to mind. The old Town and Gown Theater off Highland Avenue, Jim Hatch's old haunt. Kathy Gilmore, the head of the Metropolitan Arts Council, was really the engine behind making that renovation happen. And that's the kind of things that you really celebrate, because that could have gone away if Kathy hadn't got a team of great people together and raised, you know, a tremendous amount of money.
Yes.
And made this thing into a beautiful, beautiful showpiece for the arts. And you'll have performing arts there, and it's something, these things slip away unless people with passion and vision come and save them. And I think she should be commended for that.
Oh, and she and a lot of other people who've managed to keep things going in Birmingham when a lot of people, very frankly, over the years, and I've been guilty of this now and then, because sometimes I get down on Birmingham. I feel like, oh, gosh, we haven't made any progress. And then I'll come right back, and we're back at it again. But I'll come back to this subject in a second, but we have another call, and this one's for Jeff, so I'm going to take a nap.
Hi. Hi, caller.
Hi, Jeff. You have a building downtown that I think you said was abandoned. And I understand there's
available.
Some...
Thank you.
Available. Oh, right. Okay. Available buildings downtown, and that there are some low-interest loans, abatements for taxes, and various other opportunities for people to invest. What's the best way to get information about all that?
Well, Operation New Birmingham, which is located downtown the city center, I only got past the fourth grade.
Which or what is?
Yeah, what is? What, what's up?
Them people are still located here.
They sure are. But Operation New Birmingham, who I do work for, is really a downtown redevelopment organization that helped me get my building, my available building, so to speak. When I was looking for a place to go, I really didn't have a clue, but I did know about Operation New Birmingham, so that was going for me. And I went to them. They just laid it all out for me, the historical credits, what was available, fair pricing, and how I could really make this thing happen. And of course, when you get one of these buildings, the major thing is really redeveloping it and the renovation of it. And they were a great help to me.
Let me get this straight, and I'm not a financial person at all, as the caller can probably attest. If you go to one of the suburbs and want to start a store or a business, you're not talking about old buildings. So you're not talking about financial assistance. You're not talking about credits, as you're talking. You're not talking about grants from various organizations that can help you get started because it's old and historic and all that. So that's like something you would get downtown that you wouldn't get anywhere else. Is that about true?
There may be other historical buildings, but they certainly are more populous in the city center. And yes, that's true. Not only do you have the advantage. What a nice word. The advantage
of... You should name a company that. I should.
Of getting an old building and living in an historical building, you can help actually paying for it.
Caller, are you looking for an old building?
Yeah, I'd love to find an old building that's affordable. The ones I've looked at are amazingly expensive, given that there are so many. I mean, $300,000 for a building with... no roof is like commonplace. It just really surprises me how expensive the buildings are
there. No roof. That would be extra for the courtyard.
spoken like a PR spin doctor.
Well, I paid considerably less for mine. There are still some good buys there. Obviously, they're getting fewer and fewer, but there's a number of buildings left. Some of them are considerably less than that, and I would suggest that you contact them. I'm sure you already have, but go to yourcitycenter.com and look up the available buildings, and it'll list it there. All the available buildings will be listed with most of the prices, and you'll see some buildings for half that.
Okay, good. Well, thank you.
Well, thank you.
Have a great day.
And live the dream.
Live the dream. We've mentioned. Oh, we've got another call. Okay, let's get to Jimmy at Green Pond. I've been to Green Pond, by the way. several times.
Well, it's just used to be a country community, but now it's so many foreigners come in from Birmingham.
We do low your demographics, don't we?
Oh, my gosh. I've never seen anything like it in my life. It's got to the point now that it's not what you would call a country community anymore.
Well, let's see. Now, we're slightly north and east of you, so we would be called Yankees because we're from the north, right?
Yeah, anything out of north of Birmingham would be strictly Yankee country. Of course, I know a lot of people up there that I, you know, met working at Bethlehem Cone before the war or during the war. But I was going to tell about my dad and I did when I was a little boy, if you got time.
Sure.
We used to go to Sears and Roebuck when it was up there on, I believe, above the downtown building.
16th Street or 1st Avenue North.
Yeah, we used to go up there, and I would follow along and watch whatever, everything went on. And I used to enjoy going there, but when they moved down there, it used to be a stable, you know, in Birmingham. You remember that?
I've only been in Birmingham 30 years, so I'm really a newcomer, you know.
Yeah, well.
A Yankee newcomer. No, actually, I'm from Tuscaloosa, so I'm not a Yankee. I'm from further south than Green Pond.
Yeah, I know, right. I heard you talk about Pearson a while ago.
Yeah.
Well, anyhow, I went to school with all those people at Brookwood. But anyhow, on the, it used to be a stable down there where they built, the building is abandoned now by Sears. And I'd ask Daddy, I said, what in the world is it, all that building there? It's so dark, I can't see in it. He said, that's the horses that pulled the ice wagons in Birmingham over these brick streets. They had bricks in the streets.
Oh, yeah, we still got them.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that. But anyhow, my sister, my brother, are both older than I, and myself, all worked for that Sears down there where it used to be a stable.
Oh, that's great.
And that's where I guess we all got our start.
And I still go by there, and I still, in my mind, I still see Sears, even though it isn't the same looking as it was. Just like when I still... I go, a lot of people who come into my shop and my museum talk about the old train station. Every time they pass that lot, they can still see it in their minds. It's still there, you know.
Well, don't you know, this is something that happened to Birmingham. There's two things. One, they tore down the railroad terminal.
Yeah.
That was a big mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And also, when they got rid of the streetcars, that was another big mistake.
Well, the great thing is the streetcars are back because of people like Jeff. Did you know that?
Uh-huh.
Listen to this. Jeff told you about that better than anybody.
Well, in the city center, and by the way, I just sound like I'm a Yankee. I have a cold this morning. Normally I sound just like Jim. In the city center, going north, south, east, and west, are trolleys. I mean, they're new obviously, but they look like the old trolleys, and they're fun to drive.
They're
right on.
They're back in
them. And they're back. The trolleys are back. So come to the city center and take a trolley around and go past the old Sears building and all the other historical sites.
Caller, thanks a lot for calling in. We really appreciate your comments. That was a good story. That's the kind of story we all ought to be telling over and over about Birmingham, that it's a real place, that real people have lived here and real people still remember the good days because we are still living in the living past.
That's right. We'll see you.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Good call. Good conversation.
Great. That was great.
Yeah. Well, what were we talking about that we were so desperately trying to get back to and didn't? Oh, about people being down on Birmingham and then up on Birmingham and down on Birmingham and up on Birmingham.
Yeah.
They're really, even just the attractions we talked about, everything from the Alabama Theater to the Sloss Furnaces, are one thing, but there are a lot of commercial establishments that are worth going to because they, in a way, are museums. They are, in a way, keeping the past alive. Like the Land of Waz is an antique place right behind my museum. And if you haven't seen it, just go in there because they are living in the past, and those are the fun places.
There are quite a number of antique stores on 7th Avenue South.
Beck and Hills, Hannah Antiques.
Christopher's.
Books by George.
And then on 5th Avenue is 5th Avenue Antiques.
Yeah, I go there a lot.
That's 5th Avenue South. On 5th Avenue North, another place, sort of a little diamond in the rough. Is Alabama Auction Room, Antique Auction Room. I think it's Alabama Auction Room. But it's right across from the Redmond Hotel on 5th Avenue North. It's a great place. It has great estate jewelry. These movie stanchions that you see in the movie theater. Mm-hmm. I bought these for my building, which...
Down here, we call them marquees.
Marquees, is that what they are? Well, in fact, when you look at my building, you'll never know an ad agency's in there. People think it's a movie theater. Oftentimes, they come by and...
There are people sitting in the lobby still waiting for the feature to roll, I've noticed.
Well, they are, of course, because in the building is hundreds, as Jim can attest to, of vintage movie posters. Even the conference room where I'm supposed to be doing business is the Charlie Chan room.
Full-color Charlie Chan posters. They're worth at least $2 or $3 each. I mean, yeah. They're really valuable. We were talking about my grandfather's store. The other stores that remind me of my grandfather's store are Massey's. If you haven't been to Massey's Corral or the hardware store, it's not really a hardware store. What do you call it? A feed store? I've never known what to call Massey's.
It's a wonder. It's a wonderful store.
Yeah, it's old.
Horse saddles, horse feed, dog feed, yeah. Harnesses, tools,
squirrel cages.
Squirrels.
We're at war with squirrels right now in my neighborhood, so we're thinking more and more about those.
After today, perhaps we'll be qualifying for a squirrel cage.
By the way, right across the street from the from Massey's is Tormé's, and Tormé's has been around for like 80 years.
Oh yeah,
because they are a true grocery store. People keep saying, "Oh, there's no grocery store downtown." It's downtown. It's been there. It's still there, and it's a full service grocery store.
Is that Second Avenue North?
Yeah,
24th.
Yeah,
24th Street.
Yeah, 25th.
25th Street, and of course, their very famous cousin, deceased now, is or was Mel Torme, the Velvet Fog.
Yeah, in fact, Merv and Marv look like Mel Torme. They all kind of have the same look about them. Although Merv can't sing, and I don't want to ask him to. He may be able to sing, but he's never tried to do it in front of me. He knows that I would run.
Yeah, we thank him for that.
But anyhow, go into Torme's grocery store if you want to see a real grocery store that's been there, that has survived, that knows the name of every customer that comes in that store. You'll never be in a store like that anymore. Go while it's still there. I mean, I hope it's there forever. But go into a real store like that and where people know each other.
I'm going to name some other things. Bombay Cafe, Cameo. Bombay Pub, rather. Cameo Cafe. New York City Delicatessen. Dyson's. Other restaurants downtown. Just
where's Dyson's?
Dyson's is on 20th Street between 2nd and 3rd Avenue. North, actually between 1st and 2nd Avenue North.
Well, I'm always missing one.
Well, they do catering and they're reopening in about a week.
Really?
A week or two, yeah. So it's a whole area of restaurants right there on 20th.
My grandmother was a Dyson, so I need to go figure out. See, my father was from West Blocton, and my mother was from actually Brookwood, Alabama, which is near Peterson. Everyone should know that. She was born on the North River. So I'm an Alabama boy, but... I live in the big city, which is what everybody outside Birmingham thinks we are. But you know something? I've always felt this ever since I got to Birmingham. People call it a big city. It's not. It's really a bunch of little tiny communities strung loosely together. Sometimes they cooperate, sometimes they don't. But that's what makes it charming, because each little community and neighborhood is different from every other little community and neighborhood. Oh, Nicky's.
Nicky's down there.
When's the last time you've been to Nicky's?
A few months.
We had not been to Nicky's in a long time. Thanks for mentioning that. In a long time, I don't know why, it's off our beaten path. You get in a habit. And Liz and I went there just the other day, so it's still there and viable and busy and overloaded with good food.
But
by the way, none of these people are paying us anything to say all this stuff. We're just saying it because we're here and got to have something to say.
I don't imagine we'll even garner a free meal out of this.
No, in fact, they won't be up listening. They're sleeping in late today.
You know what? Another interesting thing, and I may be one of the few people who really do this, is we don't have a river downtown, though some people suggest that we should flood downtown and have a river.
But that's serious, by the way. It could work.
At least some areas of it. But we have alleys, these alleys behind the buildings. And I really traverse these alleys to get to places. They think it's foreboding, but you bother downtown. One reason is City Action Patrol, those guys with the red jackets, the red helmets that patrol. But there isn't really that much problem at all, and I experience none. But I go these alleys as their little adventures, and sometimes I ride them in my car if I'm driving, often in the wrong direction.
How many times have you been picked up?
They look at me as I go past. But it's another one of those little nuggets that makes... living and working downtown a fun place to be.
Just the building that we are in, I haven't even researched the history, but just from people who come in and talk to me about this building, I'll get people from out of town who walk in and say, well, I was a rock musician back in the 70s, and I used to live in one of these rooms down the hall, and they'll take me down and show me where they were and everything. And it's been around for 100 years, so it's gone through a lot of lives, and they all talk about a ghost that's in the building, and different people coming in have described the same ghost to me. I've never seen the ghost. I've waited to see it. I've been stayed up there half the night working, hoping that the ghost would come in, and I have not yet met that ghost, but perhaps, I'll let you know when I do.
Perhaps you scared him.
It could be. Could be.
Speaking of places, Butch Valdone's, a tele shop and a clothing store downtown.
One of a kind.
One of a kind, and apparently a former brothel. The early 1900s. In fact, if you go...
In fact, Butch is still running that. It's still... No, I'm just joking.
Guy's got to make a living. but once again, it's a former brothel. Upstairs, you see these little...
I've been up there.
Small little rooms that apparently were used.
Yes, I saw it. It wasn't occupied when I was up there, but you could see there was a lot of history. There were a lot of places, little rooms and little bathrooms and so on.
Birmingham was a wild town in the early 1900s, late 1800s.
It really was. I have Birmingham News as the original ones from the 1890s in my shop. We have everything we have is original or almost original or aboriginal. And it tells, you know, almost daily there's somebody having a gunfight in the middle of the street in downtown Birmingham. I mean, it was Dodge City of its day, I guess. People toted guns and they were proud of it. And if you got mad at somebody, there was none of this calling names. They were just shooting somebody dead in a duel.
Ah, the good old days.
Yes. So Birmingham has, you know, will provide you with its own history. By the way, this is something I discovered the other day. I knew it was there. I just never spent much time there. I went down to the archives department at the Birmingham Library. This is like one of a kind place in the world. Go down to the archives department. All you got to do is go into the library. It's free. Get on the elevator. Go downstairs. The first thing you see when you walk in is a big table of letters from famous people. Helen Keller. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, famous, all kinds of presidents, excuse me.
This is a cough break for Jim.
Yes, this is a cough break, excuse me, while I sputter here. Everything you see there is authentic. You'll see the jail records from when Martin Luther King Jr. and Fred Shuttlesworth were put in the Birmingham jail. I mean, there's just stuff lying all around that's true history. Not somebody's replay of it, not a reprint of it, but the original stuff. Go down there. It's free, and they love showing you around.
And another great place. You know, we only have a few minutes left, and I'm sure we've missed a number of places. We haven't even touched on many of the other places. And perhaps if there's another opportunity when there's dead time that they have to fill, we could cut back popular demand, or actually not.
No, I think Dee just set the building on fire. He wants to make sure we never come back.
That's right.
But I've had fun talking to you this morning, Jeff. I don't know why, because... It's like I see enough of you already, but I like it when people like you are adventuresome enough to come and try something new in Birmingham. And one of the new things to try, of course, is to go to places you've never been, like the auction room or the Museum of Fond Memories. You come in there, and unlike most people, instead of looking for a specific thing which you will buy and leave with, you're looking to see what you don't know about. So you look around and you see things you can't imagine exist, like my 500-year-old book.
Right.
It's in my little case in there. A signed copy of To Kill a Mockingbird. You name it. I mean, they're just things that you will not see anywhere else. And that's not just promoting my stores. Talking about lots of stores downtown.
Sure.
Come downtown. Jeff Langdon, Advantage Associates, thanks for joining me and helping me fill this time and to talk about stuff we love. I'm Jim Reed. Thanks for listening to us this morning and thanks for calling in. Thanks, Dee.
Thank you, Dan.